What's up, you sick motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Flesh, Wound, Horror. I'm Mike Kruger, joined with producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
And tonight we are doing the Candyman franchise show we talked about. So if you haven't already checked out our Candyman 2021 review, go check that out. Also, if you want to see the uncensored version, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeature starts at just a buck. Go watch our uncensored review. I definitely have a nice offensive rant towards the end there. So if you're into that type of stuff, starts at just a dollar. So yeah, fucking Candyman. One of my personal favorite films of the 90s, probably my favorite horror film from the 90s is Candyman. I'm a huge Tony Todd fan as well. Always loved, you know, Tony Todd in anything. And Candyman, just as the years have gone by, it's even held up better for me. It's one of the actual, like, first movies. I wouldn't say first, but one of the movies I definitely remember from my childhood that terrified the living shit out of me. I brought this up on a Candyman 2021 review, but I'll say it again. The whole sequence when Helen wakes up in the house with the blood all over in the crib and the fucking dead dog, that scene terrified my soul as a child. And it etched into my head for so long. And Candyman just in general, I think, is one of the most effective horror films. But Todd, did you see Candyman in the theaters?
92. I'm almost sure I did. I know I didn't see the second. The third didn't really get theatrical release. I might have killed those brain cells at this point, but I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah. If not, I saw it immediately when it came out. You know, in 92, I saw it.
And as far as you go, like, you're a big, pretty big fan. Like, where do you stand on it?
Tony Todd, 100%. Candyman, I kind of wish I liked it more, but I do really enjoy it. It's one I do go back to, but it's not like anywhere in my top 10.
Oh, okay. Like, as far as like top 10 slashers, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just in general. Because, like, for me.
In general, just. I mean, just like in horror in general. I didn't really. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, I mean, Candyman, I mean, in the first film, maybe. You know, I mean, it's technically a supernatural slasher, but. You know, as the time goes on, it definitely goes into, you know, becomes a true slasher. And I don't know. For me, it's high up there. Like, I'll take Candyman over Chucky. I take Candyman over actually quite a bit of stuff now that I'm thinking about it off the top of my head. You know, it's definitely, he's definitely not, you know, he's not knocking out any of the big four, but I'd say he's maybe five for me.
The one thing is, I know if I don't put the argument out there, the supernatural slasher, because it is also that it is in her own head and she really is doing the killing. So that way it wouldn't be a supernatural slasher. Yeah. So it just depends on your, it's one of those things where, because when you came into it, there was already three films. So by the time that second film happens, the narrative changes from it all being in her head.
Yeah, too. It was the actual Candyman. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's one of those things. Like, if it was just the first one, the perspective changes. I know Dan brought it up yesterday, but once that second one happens and there's already a trilogy when you come into it, it never even crosses your mind. Did that cross your mind when you first saw it?
That, like, it was just, that it was just Helen the whole time?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I like, the whole thing that kind of prevents me from saying it is like that is the end scene. I mean, right. where she you know, shows up and kills her husband. I mean, if Candyman wasn't real, then why the fuck would it all of a sudden work with Helen? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like that ending kind of proves that there is a fucking Candyman. At least to me. And like you said, you know, going into it, just the franchise in general, like, it was already a franchise.
Yeah.
So, like, I saw it, you know, as a slasher. But I mean, he's fucking basically like Freddy Krueger. Yeah. I mean, especially even more so with the fucking new movie that we got, the 2021 one. I mean, it fully goes into that realm where he's basically exactly like Freddy.
And even if that wasn't the intentions, that's where it became. It's kind of. kind of like other horror franchises. They attend one thing, Friday the 13th, and it becomes something completely different by the time you hit the second and third.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, I mean the first Friday 13th, I don't think was ever intended to be a fucking franchise, but I mean, sure as shit, you know. I mean, it didn't even start with the same fucking slasher icon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Candyman, pretty fucking big fan. Just in general, I think Tony, people always say that, you know, how Candyman versus the Leprechaun would have been, you know, so stupid. And granted, I'm with you on there, but I kind of always wish we would have got a Candyman versus film with somebody, you know what I mean? Like maybe Chucky, you think that would work? I don't know. Fucking, I've always wanted to see Candyman fucking actually kick some ass. Like watching Freddy versus Jason, like I could totally see Candyman in there hooking some motherfucker. And
I don't know why, but my brain says, and this is probably just because of licensing and stuff.
Yeah.
Candyman versus Wishmaster would have worked.
Dude, that would have been cool, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, that would have been cool. Oh, I love the Wishmaster series, but that's for another fucking time. Tony Todd's in Wishmaster, though,
yes,
isn't
he?
The first one? Yeah.
There's a bunch of horror icons in the first one.
Yeah, and just on Tony Todd in general, because, I mean, it would be a disservice to not fucking have his own little portion of this show. I mean, I love that motherfucker. Have you watched Holliston?
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
Dude, with him and Holliston is so fucking funny. Like, I love him. Just anytime you get a special feature with a Tony Todd interview on a Blu-ray or something, I always find it a treat. Revisiting these Candyman movies, I mean, man, the interviews on the Shout Factory releases for the first two films are so fucking awesome. I mean, and you could just tell how much he really cares about this role. I mean, even he says he doesn't care to really talk much about Candyman 3. But, you know, the first two films, like, he had a lot of input on what he wanted to do with the character, too, that directors actually listen to him. And I think that's just so cool, because that I don't think Candyman would have been what it is today if it like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't think Nightmare on Elm Street wouldn't have actually worked with anybody else but Robert Englund at that time. I don't think it would have become the pop culture icon that Freddy Krueger has become without Robert Englund there. And I fully believe that with Candyman as well. And speaking on that, just in general, like, I think Candyman is one of the most recognizable horror icons too. I mean, it's one that you really hear about a lot more than most other things. I mean, I think he's up there with, as far as popularity and people knowing who Candyman is, I think he may not be on the level of Michael, Freddy, Jason, Leatherface, but he's definitely fucking close.
Yeah. And the one thing about him is he has the whole urban legend thing going with him. Mm-hmm. So even kids who haven't seen the film know the whole Candyman thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did you ever do it when you were so 92? How old were you?
Jesus, you're going to make me do math.
Yeah.
I was in my middle teens. Hold on.
Okay. So like,
I was probably like 15, 16. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I saw Candyman a lot younger than that. I mean, I was, you know, really fucking young, probably six when I saw it or something. But like, I remember doing the Candyman thing in the mirror and literally like being scared to fucking death. And like, I didn't really necessarily want to do it, but my friend, who was a little more ambitious than I was at that time, fucking after watching the movies, like, yeah, we need to go fucking do that right now. And I was like, oh, I don't know about invoking some shit. I'm not as superstitious now, considering the marketing for the new Candyman movie. You had to say it five times into your phone to get the new trailer. Not that scared of it anymore, but still. But yeah, so fucking, I think we've had a long enough intro for 10 fucking minutes. So if you haven't seen what our franchise shows are, we just break things down into different topics so we could just talk about the franchise as a whole. Tonight, we'll be talking about our ranking, favorite kill, favorite visual throughout the franchise, our favorite line/quote, and our favorite character. So If you enjoy these shows that we're doing, like these franchise shows, let us know. Let us know if there's anything you would like us to cover. And also stay tuned for more of them and go back and check out our other ones. I know we've done Friday the 13th. We've done Nightmare on Elm Street, which obviously one of my favorites.
Tony Todd one, Final Destination.
Yes, we've done Final Destination. We have done, what the fuck else have we done, Todd?
I know we're missing some.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm fucking. I can't think off the top of my head. Too many chair shots. But yeah, so definitely check out our other franchise shows. These are some of my favorite shows that we fucking do. So without further ado, let's get right into everything. So let's start with just ranking them. So, you know, the only four films. So not that long of a list. But I don't know. You want to go first, Todd?
No, go for it.
All right. So, me personally, obviously the first Candyman is my favorite. I don't think, anybody's going to dispute that. I think that's kind of where it's going to lie on most people's list. But yeah, Candyman, one of my favorite horror films of all time. Second on my list, my, second favorite film would be Candyman 2, Farewell to Flesh. Rewatching it, I actually think it's a really good sequel, more so than I think I remember. It's a way more silly, and it doesn't have the same tone as the first film. It's much more, I don't know, campy slasher, you know, feel, and not, you know, a serious gothic, you know, horror film like the first film. But I don't know. I still loved everything about Candyman 2. Like, it's definitely not on the same level as the first one, but I think it's a solid sequel, especially for the backstory scenes that we get with Tony Todd actually becoming the Candyman and seeing that all play out on screen. I actually really thought that's kind of what set that as a next level sequel to me. And then I would probably go Candyman 2021 after Candyman 2. Mainly, the main reason why it's third and not last is because I think Candyman 3 kind of cheapens the franchise a little bit, even more so than the Candyman 2 did, because of the tone and I don't know, the characters aren't really that well done in Candyman 3. I'm not a big fan of the cop characters in particular in that movie. I just think it's so fucking silly. So Candyman 3, obviously, at the last one on my list. So from top, Candyman, Candyman 2, Candyman 2021, and then Candyman 3, Day of the Dead. That's my from best to worst ranking. What about you, Todd?
Well, before I say mine, and there's a reason I wanted you to go first. Real quick, because Dan and Pugs told us their ranking of the orders. Mm-hmm. Dan was easy, 1, 2, 3, 4. So yeah. He likes them in order. Pugs was
exactly one. Like I was.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, there so you go. 1, 2, 4, and 3.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, now here's mine that everyone's gonna hate. I am 1, 3, 4, 2.
Oh wow, really? So,
and I know 3 is a bad movie.
Yeah, but you right, but you like bad movies.
I do, and the fact that we have I can't think of his
Nightmare name. On Elm Street. Rod. Dude, that's the one. Okay, so like that's the one thing for that movie that like it saved me from not hating it, because like, you know, it's not great by any means, but even just rewatching everything, I was like, that's not as bad as I think everybody makes it out to be. And having Nightmare on Elm Street homeboy in it definitely raises it up.
And it's basically the same shit all over again. He's getting accused. Yeah. You know, before we go any further, we will get into some spoilers, especially when we get to the later ones. So that I should have warned you at the top, but there we go.
Yeah, spoiler warning. Watch these movies first if you don't want anything spoiled.
Yeah. Rod, and it's basically the same exact thing happening to him. He gets accused of something to do. I like that see, here's the thing, and I know I always drive Dan insane with this. I love Hellraiser 3, probably my favorite Hellraiser. I had Supreme co-signed that, so Dan couldn't really say too much shit.
I like Hellraiser 3. I mean, it's campy as fuck and not like on the same tone as the first totally two films at all, but I like it's good. No, I'm with you. Like, it's not bad by any means. And I think everybody likes Hellraiser 3, though. Really? He hates it?
I don't know if he hates it or he just gets mad. I love that one. Which was my first? No, I saw Hellraiser 2 in the theater. I just didn't see the first.
Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I get Donna DeErica. This is such like a late '90s movie.
Yeah,
and
it has that feel to it for sure.
It does. Whereas the original Candyman is more timeless.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really feel like a '90s picture, which is a good thing. It makes it evergreen.
Yeah.
Same with the second one has that. It's kind of in the middle. I don't know. I like bits of 2 and 3, but I love the campiness of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then you said you like 2021 over 2. Now,
yeah.
Like, is there a specific problem you have with 2? Or
I just even this time I've never been able to get into it.
Mm,
okay. I can never really put. I don't know if it's the whole setting. Or what? Like, I do like
the Louisiana setting. Yeah, I get what you mean. The one thing on my rewatch that it kind of reminded me of, and maybe that's why it did so well for me now, is one of my favorite slasher franchises, Hatchet, takes place in Louisiana. And, like, that's kind of where my mind went when I was watching it. So maybe that's why I hold it to such high regard now. But
right. Well, the thing with 2 is it kind of... It changes the formula too, because we leave the big city. Because the first one we're in, like, you know, the project in big city, and I think the other reason I like 3 a lot is we're back to big city, but this time it's L.A. And I
No wonder you like fucking 3. It's in L.A.
There you go. So I toyed with the idea of making it 1, but there's no way I could say this is a better movie than the first.
Yeah.
I just have a lot of fun with the third one.
Now, like I said, on this rewatch, I don't think Candyman 3 is as bad as everybody makes it out to be. It definitely doesn't have, like, I was looking at some of the reviews on it. I think Bloody Disgusting posted, like, some revisit review of Candyman 3, and I was just like, oh, let me check this out since I'm going to be watching it in a few hours. And they were, like, talking about how bad the gore is and all that. I'm like, this doesn't have bad gore. I mean, it ain't great, but it definitely isn't bad. And I don't know. I think people talk too much shit about it, to be honest with you. And if there's one thing I'll say, I think Candyman's one of the most consistent throughout all, like, the 4 films. I don't think they're that far. Like, the first one's at a whole nother level, but I don't think any of the sequels are, like, such dog shit you can't watch them.
Right.
And, like, to be honest, I'm kind of like that with some Halloween films. I mean, like, some of my future franchise show, by the way, which will be happening in October. But, like, some of the Halloween films, like, I find very, very hard to get through. And none of the Candyman films for me I thought were, you know, terrible or I was ever clock watching or anything like that. So, yeah, Candyman 3 definitely isn't that bad. Is there a Blu-ray release for it in the States?
There is not. I mean, you can watch it on Hulu.
Yeah.
Lionsgate holds it. So I'm hoping we see a Vestron release, which...
That would be rad because, like, I really do want it now just to complete the collection. Yeah. And, you know, I'll be buying the 2021 film as well. But
even if they shit on it in the extras, that's fine. I just want to hear thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, like, I would love to hear what the production was like. Because, like, but maybe I'm wrong about this, but was the director of Candyman 3 a porn director?
I'm going to double
because
check.
When I put in my rating on IMDb, I was looking at some of the reviews for it. And like, I think 3 or 4 people said that. And I was like, was he a porn director?
He directed some Buffy.
It didn't say anything on IMDb. But yeah. Maybe there's something, maybe it's not credited on there. I'm not sure. But I just, like, I saw that argument, and I was like...
Well, that's going to make me like it even more. Well,
I saw the argument, and I was like, wait a minute. Fucking wasn't part... Like, that's a stupid argument. Part 5 for Friday the 13th was directed by a porn director, and that absolutely. Movie's fucking awesome. So,
Also, See No Evil with Kane, directed by a porn director.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Gregory Dark.
Oh, I do love me some See No Evil. I need to revisit the fucking second one, though.
Well, you know what? Maybe we can do that because I know Pugs would be thrilled to do it. Oh, dude. Though there's two movies.
I'm in for that. Fuck, we can add a Kane fucking spotlight on there. But that's another show for another time. So now that we got the right. So, Todd, you said 1, 3, 4, and 2, right?
Yes.
Okay. So rankings out of the way. Now we'll go the favorite kill. Now, before I say mine, I'll just say rewatching these, they're not that fantastic, the kills throughout this franchise. Like, it's not on the level of, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, even Texas Chainsaw, to be honest with you, like, as far as the kills go. Now, granted, that doesn't make me not like the franchise as much, but just a little note that I took while watching all this is like, yeah, none of these kills are like ridiculously over the top or something necessarily completely memorable. That being said, my personal favorite kill throughout the franchise was the doctor in the first film getting his back split open, bent over the desk by Candyman. And just like Tony Todd let out like this kind of grunt, and then all this blood sprayed up from homeboy's back. And it was just like, it was like fucking perfect, like the way the kill went. And it was also like a kind of like holy shit moment. And the whole scene where Helen is the one that actually summons him to take this dude out too, I think is pretty badass. So yeah, that's probably my favorite kill throughout the franchise. That being said, I would say consistently, I think the new one may have the best kills, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's one of those like this one I've struggled with the whole time because, as you said, the original ones, they aren't like the Candyman, is it 3? Yeah, it's probably 3. I probably have too much 3 on here. But when Candyman's killed and she's cutting the picture and the bees are coming out, I always thought that was really cool.
I think that's 2.
Okay, yeah, you know what you might, yeah, that is. Or is it in both? Jesus.
Oh, it could be. I remember specifically an effect in 2 where maybe she just scratched him or something, but like she did something to his face and then the bees were like coming out of an open wound.
Yeah. I think it does. I think that and the second one, the third one is the picture. When she's cutting the picture. Mm-hmm. But it comes back to the new one. The kills are what really stood out. If you listen to our review,
they were really stylistic, and like the way they showed, like, and this may be a little too much, but I don't know. It kind of reminded me of the way kills are in Shallows, if that makes sense.
Nope, I was actually gonna go there. They're super stylistic, minus the amount of blood flow, but super stylistic, kind of kill. That said, I really liked the. And you don't really see a lot, but I like the bathroom kill.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite kill in that movie. It's that, well, that and like,
and it's funny because that one's not even needed at all for the plot. It's
no, it was just hey, let's kill some more fucking,
let's kill some white girls. Yeah.
Essentially, let's show the bully black girl and kill these white girls real quick.
So you know what? I'm gonna go with that one. I did really like it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I think that's the one thing that prevented me from hating the new Candyman. And like, I definitely think it's going to have people split. I already see, like, it's so weird to me that like so many people think it's fantastic, though. I wasn't expecting, like, I thought people would be like, oh, yeah, it's good and it's maybe one of the better sequels. But there's people really stroking this movie off. So. All power to you, Nia DaCosta. I hope you fucking do something better next time, though. Just saying. And I didn't even, like, dislike the movie, but I think it could have been way better. Use Tony Todd, goddammit. All right, before I get on another fucking rant. Next thing we'll talk about is favorite visual, mainly because I think this fucking movie is, or this franchise, chock-filled with them. I mean, there's definitely some disturbing, like I already talked about at the top of the hour, some really disturbing moments that stuck with me as a child, you know, throughout the series. And while I do, like I said, probably as far as, you know, just what stuck out to me the most in the Candyman franchise as a kid, that crib scene fucked me up, terrified the shit out of me. But my personal favorite visual is, Candyman, when he kind of hypnotizes Helen, and then he's about to kiss her, and he reveals his torso, and all the bees are just crawling all over him, and then he opens his mouth, and the bees are crawling out. That's my favorite visual throughout the movie. Just a shot of Tony with all the fucking bees inside his goddamn mouth. Super iconic. And fun fact, the way they did that, watching the shout or the Scream Factory Blu-ray, I guess they put like a mouth plate inside his mouth, so like the bees couldn't, you know, crawl to the back of his throat. But one of the fucking bees got behind it and ended up like crawling in his throat while he was fucking filming, and he didn't break character at all. That's a fucking actor, brother. But favorite visual, what about you, Todd?
That's actually what I had down, but I'll give a second one because I put one down just in case we had the same.
Yeah.
Shocker, it's from part three. Mm-hmm. A bigger shocker, it is the naked girl with her throat slit covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
I love that visual, and it's not just because it's tits and blood, but that doesn't hurt. But
the one that the sleazy art guy, that was a pretty good scene, to be honest with you. That's where, like, because I was expecting Candyman 3 to suck ass. Like, really,
that's why good you went in with that expectation.
Yeah, it surprised me. Like, granted, I don't think it's fantastic, but definitely there is so much fucking worse in other franchises, let me fucking tell you. We have Leatherface, for fuck's sake. All right?
And by Leatherface, he means Leatherface, not Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 3.
No, I'm talking 2017 piece of garbage. I'll never watch.
Wait till the franchise show.
Yeah, now I'm gonna be forced to. God damn it!
I'm gonna have to watch a couple I don't like, and I'm gonna be the one who's the asshole on that. Well, it'll happen.
Yeah,
it feels like a summer show. Maybe we'll do that with next summer. Summer barbecue.
What, TCM?
Yeah,
I'm down. When the fuck does the new one come out?
We'll have to figure that. Maybe we'll time it with that.
Yeah. By the way, this is a little off topic, but did you see the little interview that Fede Alvarez did about this?
No.
Because he's producing it. He did an interview, and he's like, I don't know who the fuck saw this test screening, but this movie's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, Fede, you also fucking said that Don't Breathe 2 was better than the first one. Shut the fuck up. But I mean, you think so.
But I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to sell his fucking movies. I get it. So moving on, favorite quote or line, for me, and this shouldn't actually be a surprise to you, Todd, since you've probably heard it throughout my wrestling career. But for anybody that doesn't know, I'm a retired pro wrestler. And at the beginning of my entrance theme, Tony Todd would say utter some words. And it was always, and that's how you know I was coming out to fuck shit up. And that was, there's a reason. It's one of my favorite quotes of any fucking horror film ever. And from the first one, they say I've shed innocent blood. What's blood for if not for shedding? With my hook in my hand, I'll split you from your groin to your gullet. I didn't have the groin to your gullet fucking part, but I had the, you know, they say I've shed innocent blood. What's blood for if not for shedding? And that's how you know somebody was going to get fucked up by Michael Krueger. And for good reason, that fucking quote's fantastic. And just immediately when I was watching Candyman back, those words uttered at the beginning of the movie, and I kind of forgot where they were in the movie. And it sends chills up my spine still to this fucking day. So,
and you know, it's partially revisited in the third one when the detective says, "I'm gonna get you from the groin to the gullet."
and then he's I think Yaya Candyman, when he comes back, he says, They said I shed innocent blood, but the blood I shed tonight is not innocent. But what about you, Todd? Favorite?
Well, I mean, it's hard to beat that one, but I'm going to go with one. And I kind of tipped my hat yesterday. It's in the bathroom kills when the girls say, "Don't be a pussy." And the one girl says, "Why? It's warm and it's wonderful."
That's probably the best fucking line in that movie.
I couldn't stop laughing. The people next to me were just like, "What the fuck?" I was dying.
It triggered Dan. You know why? that's a good one. And like, there was another quote in there from the new one that was really good, and I can't fucking remember. It was said by the Walking Dead dude. Fucking. Oh, yeah. God damn it, I can't fucking remember. Something about Candyman's not the bees, the whole damn hive or some shit like that. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. And I honestly, it kind of made sense because, like, later on in the movie, when Yaya, you know, is turning into Candyman, his skin starts to turn into literally like honeycomb that the bees were going inside. So pretty fucking cool there. That's another reason why I don't hate that movie either. That fucking effect was good shit. Yeah. Always going to get me with an effect guy. So this is probably going to be an easy one, but our last topic for Candyman franchise show is favorite character. Now, I'm just going to say going forward, my favorite character is fucking Candyman.
That's what I have.
For sure. But I think that's a little cheap. I can't fucking go with just a slasher. So if I'm not going with Candyman, Tony Todd, and to be specific, since we got more fucking Candyman now, Tony Todd Candyman's my favorite. But favorite character, Helen, of course. I mean, I just think the performance in that movie that she gave, what's her name again? The actress.
Oh, Virginia Madison.
Yeah, Virginia Madison. The performance she gave in that fucking film is phenomenal. One of the best acting performances I've seen in a horror film ever. And I felt for her character throughout that movie, even on this rewatch, like, you know, all the shit she's dealing with in her personal life. And honestly, that movie has a little bit of a feminine, like my girl was pointing it out to me. She thinks it has a little bit of a feminist take on it, especially with how Helen is as a character. And she's trying to prove all the men wrong. And, you know, that she, and like, there's a line that she gives to the, to her, I forgot what her friend was called that went into the Cabrini Green with her, but she says something like about her husband and someone else, and like, would they go in here? No, they'd chicken shit out. And it was just she kind of stands for women empowerment. I definitely see, like, that's probably like a big reason why my girl loves Candyman. And I, in my opinion, I think Helen's probably one of the best characters, especially with the transformation she goes throughout the film, and then at the end, ultimately sacrificing herself to save Anthony. And maybe to some people, maybe she shouldn't, because then we wouldn't have got the fucking new one. But what about you, Todd? Favorite character? Is it from three?
You know what? Honestly, it's Helen. But if I'm picking, right behind it is Rod from Nightmare on Elm Street, David LaPaz.
Yeah,
but no, yeah, Mike. It has to be Helen. I mean, because if we're not picking Candyman, it has to be Helen.
Speaking of Helen, were you kind of, I've seen people talking about this, were you kind of disappointed that she didn't show up in the new one? Because I almost felt like she should have, maybe in a haunting scene with Anthony's mom.
It's hard because she still looks good for her age, but you can tell the aging difference.
I mean, they did CGI Tony Todd.
I was going to say they de-aged him. I don't know. You know, one thing we never talked about yesterday, and I kind of like that we've had a little time to let the movie sit. Mm-hmm. We didn't bring up how they handled the flashbacks. What were your thoughts on that?
With the
stick figures.
I thought it would have been cool for All right. So like when I saw it for the, cause they were, that was basically a big thing in the marketing that right. they were doing. They were showing those sequences, especially the last couple of days. They literally showed the whole fucking Helen fucking portion.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was cool for one scene. It should have been Tony Todd's scene and not anybody else. I didn't like how they kept going back because they went back to, I think, like three times.
I yeah. wonder if it's just they didn't want to pay Sony or any of the other people.
The rights money? Yeah, I mean, I would have been fine with that. I would have been fine revisiting it in through pictures, you know what I mean? Like just, you know, photograph. I mean, we do a little bit with some other story, but yeah, I mean, it could have been... I think that time could have been spent elsewhere. I wonder, is there another cut of this movie out there? Because I feel like it has to be, especially with the way how rushed the fucking, you know, the final act is. I feel like there has to be maybe a 2-hour cut of this film.
It feels like there should be at least an extra 20.
Yeah, there's definitely a portion of this thing missing. And I wonder if it would make a big difference to me or not, because, you know, part of my issue is, you know, with the third act, just, you know, that one, the laundromat dude, Walking Dead guy, fucking, you know, literally going like that on a turn. And you don't even like, it's not even hinted at that this guy is going to turn into the, you know, the antagonist of the film at all.
Although it's funny because he does that literally everything he's in.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just supposed to expect it because that's what he does.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wonder. My biggest issue, I think, with the new Candyman is just Tony Todd needed to be that character. And I did not need the other.
I expected him about as much as he was in it, honestly. I didn't think we were going to get like a lot.
I thought we were going to get at least a couple of minutes, not fucking 15 seconds, man.
I was excited when he was doing the paintings. You could see a couple of the paintings were Tony Todd.
Yeah.
Not the, you know, the other one. I wasn't sure. Like, I, other than the first, maybe the second trailer, which didn't give a lot away. So I had heard Tony Todd, but I didn't know how much. And it's kind of what I was more surprised that it was more Virginia Madison stuff. Like yeah. you said, they kind of spoiled that in the late days leading up. But I was like, well, that's cool. I mean, they both got a payday. And I know we talked about it yesterday, them not using Tony Todd as Candyman. It's like 70, getting him insured would be
again
hard.
I'm
CGI.
I'm fine with it. They already fucking did it. That wasn't him now. Like, right. you know,
but that's one shot. That's a little different.
Yeah, but you could, there's a way to movie magic, motherfucker. Just don't show his face until the end. Just, I think my issue was my issue is this other Candyman is not the Candyman I came to fucking see. Okay. This other, like, the Yaya part's fine with me. I like that portion. I like the fact that Anthony turned into Candyman at the end of the film. But this other, the whole police brutality victim Candyman, the fact that he was the one doing all the killing, the fact that that was the entity they were focusing on and not Tony Todd, when Tony Todd has such a, Tony Todd's character, what the hell is it? I forgot his.
Oh, Daniel.
Daniel.
Shoot, hold on.
Something with a P, I think.
Yeah, no, Robitaille. Daniel.
Yeah, Robitaille. Daniel Robitaille. Like, my problem is this: Daniel Robitaille had a connection to Anthony from birth, or, you know, not birth, but from infancy. So that should have been the Candyman that was haunting him, not the one he was fucking reading about and all this shit. And my other problem too is just, I feel like the movie would have, like, I wanted more fan service, if that makes sense. I feel like that's a big issue with a lot of film nowadays, is like people kind of have that, or especially if you're revisiting a franchise or something, people have that conflicting issue of, you know, do I need to make something new and ambitious, or do I need to, you know, do fan service? And I say you need a little bit of both.
Now, I mean, especially.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say about Halloween 2018 is it gave me so much fan service that I was, it made me love it, and it became one of my favorite. And over the fucking what 3 years it's been out, it's been one of my most revisited Halloween films because of how much fan service I got in that movie.
You know, it's funny. I've been afraid to revisit that because I'm hoping my love is not just the fan service, which I will be revisiting before the new one. But I'm just like, I hope it doesn't change for me. I really do.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were saying the Hive stuff was unneeded. Mm-hmm. Like it's like they overthought it. Like they overbooked it. We didn't need the Cabrini Green Candyman because we already established Tony Todd was. But then you go to the, yeah, it's
frustrating. It feels like, and you know, I'm probably completely off base with this, and this may not be the intention at all, but I feel like the whole point of making that decision is to put the social commentary right in your face. And the thing that makes the first Candyman so great is there's strong social commentary in that film, but it's not smacking you in the mouth. And I mean, I think, and it's funny because people talk so much shit about Candyman 3 because the social, because there is social commentary there too with the cops and the police corruption and shit and them being racist motherfuckers. And people's issue with Candyman 3 that I fucking have seen reviews of is that they hate the fact that the social commentary is smacking you in the mouth. So I don't see how people like the new one when it's smacking you in the mouth throughout the whole film from start to fucking finish. And with Candyman 3, they don't like that portion. Granted, I mean, Candyman 3 is not as well done as this, but it's just, I don't know. I find my biggest issue, the social commentary thing, and Tony Todd is Candyman, and that you're not going to fucking try to sway me otherwise. And going in, I was told motherfucking Tony Todd is returning, and then he returns for 15 seconds. I mean, there's nothing that's going to give me a limper dick than that. But I mean,
yeah,
it had so much potential. And I think if there was a little tweak here, a little knob turned here, it would have been a goddamn fantastic sequel. But
yeah,
unfortunately, you know, we can't change what's done now. And like I said, I don't hate it. I do like it, especially because of the kills, like we already talked about. But I don't know. I don't see this movie standing the test of time like other sequels are gonna with other franchises. So
I know I called it junk food yesterday. It's just mindless, you know.
Yeah. And it feels like that, to be honest with you. That, like, you kind of put it the best when you said that, because like when you think about the kills and everything, like, it, you know, it's just nice eye candy. I mean, they're not ridiculously fantastic kills, but I mean, they're meant to be eye candy. And to have, you know, a artistic take. I mean, the whole movie too is super, super artsy, I think, a little bit as well. Like,
how, dad should have loved it.
Yeah, right. I mean, it just, I don't know.
No, I was just saying, only he would have only loved it if it had that A24 logo.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I hope I wish Nia DaCosta the best. I hope she brings some other cool stuff to the horror genre. But I just hope, and I kind of hope this with Jordan Peele now, because I do really like Jordan Peele. I really enjoy Get Out and Us.
A Jordan Peele movie with the message, you would have thought.
Right. Well, yeah, and he helped write the fucking screenplay, for fuck's sake, and produced it. But my whole thing is, I'm done. I get you guys want to do the social commentary thing. I'm fucking all for that. But don't make that be in every single fucking thing you do. Have some fun. All right. Like, not everything needs a deeper message to it. I want to see you guys just have some fun with filmmaking and not worry about the message that you're fucking bringing to the table. I want to see you guys make some fucking fun horror movies. So please, like, I'm your defenders, but it's getting a little much now. We need to stray away from this shit a little bit, guys.
Or use some subtile. Be more subtile. I mean, it's hard that they have to hit you over the head with it because people are dumb.
Dumb as fuck, yeah, unfortunately. It just, I don't know. I hope we get to a point where they're able to show how good of a filmmaker, how good filmmakers and creators they are without having the crutch of, oh, well, this is going to be a social message that's going to get a bunch of people's attention that feel the same way as me. I feel the same way as you, but not when you're shoving it down my throat. So like I said, just have some fucking fun. The one thing I'll say about the bringing this all back around to Candyman, the one thing I'll say about Candyman is its sequels have a lot more fucking fun than the last one did. So, yeah, Candyman 3, if you don't like it, go fuck yourself. Todd Loya said so.
Especially that guy in the hat.
Yeah, fucking asshole. Well, I mean, at least he said it was better than one of them. But
yeah, okay. There we go, Dan. You got it's better than the new one, so I'll let it slide.
Yeah. So, other than that, you got anything else on Candyman, Todd?
No, if they do another one that could explain this hive better, I don't know how much it's going to redeem it, but it's just one of those things. I kind of agree with you.
Yeah.
Kind of would rather just give.
I'd rather just see them do something else, to be honest with you. Or, dude, here's my whole thing. Make another fucking slasher in place of him. Like, do something else. Like, you know, that has the same feel or the same message. You know, the one thing I argue the most with is nobody's trying to do goddamn slasher franchises anymore. And it pisses me the fuck off. Thank God for fucking Terrifier. Cause legit, everybody else is slacking like a motherfucker.
It's weird. Cause with those kind of pictures, it's hard in like today's climate. Cause slashers are tits and gore,
yep.
Good kill. And it's like, it's hard to pull off like a franchise like that unless they're going back to a name franchise.
Yeah.
So it's annoying, but yeah, I think it's going to have to be like straight to video stuff. I don't see a big theatrical franchise.
Yeah.
Unless it's one that we've seen before.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that, you know, studios don't take chances on stuff like that, you know, as much anymore. But I mean, to be honest with you, everybody making these shitty remakes aren't fucking helping either. So, or, you know, remakes, reboots, it doesn't help the case for people to want to, you know, start slasher fucking franchises. But, you know, thank God for the independent market. You know, like I said, Terrifier. I mean, I'm glad shit like that's still happening. You know, we were supposed to get a Hatchet 5 too, and you know, never.
It's honestly the biggest thing with the studios is they don't make, and I was hoping the pandemic would kind of break this a little bit. And I think it kind of has, but studios only do micro budget and like $300 million,
there's not like somebody dropping just, you know, $20 million. No, I'm with you on that. And that's like revisiting some of these older slashers.
Except for Blumhouse, they are dropping around the $20 million mark to make movies. Mm-hmm. Even if they aren't all great, they are like one of the few that are doing like that mid-budget picture.
Yeah, which, again, why the fuck is Blumhouse? Well, I guess they do have that stupid Puka thing. I don't know. Why?
The one thing Dan likes.
Yeah, right. God damn it.
Nobody rewatches it and hates it like the rest of us.
What, Puka?
Yes.
Oh, it's dog shit. I mean, I got through like maybe I can't say for sure on the second one because I got through maybe.
I liked the second one actually better.
Yeah, that first one's ass. But enough about fucking Puka and goddamn Blumhouse. That will conclude. I think our Candyman franchise show. So hope you guys enjoyed talking about Tony Todd and all of his beautiful glory. And
you know what? And if we don't say before we get out of here, I'm going to feel bad. Night of the Living Dead 1990 is the shit with Tony Todd.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Tony Todd and Night of the Living Dead is the shit, and that is a goddamn good remake. It's not fucking perfect, and definitely ain't as good as the fucking original, but it's a damn good one. Tony Todd's performance makes it worth watching. So, fucking, and to be honest, dude, Tony Todd just in anything. Watch him in the Hat. I love him in Hatchet. He's so fucking great in there. Tony Todd, you're the fucking man. I don't know if you'll ever watch this video, but we love you as for the horror icon you are, and keep adding shit to your IMDb. I think you're up to like 200 something acting credits now. So keep going, because we'll keep watching it. If there's a Tony Todd movie out there, I see that he's a part of the cast, I usually automatically watch it anyway. So
he was the voice of the Fallen in Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Was he really?
I haven't watched it yet, but it was on his credit.
Dude, he's done a voiceover for I think it's Darkseid in some DC animated film that's like supposedly like a violent one because it's like rated R or something. Yeah. I gotta watch that shit. Like I said, Tony Todd and anything, you know, I'm all over it.
What? He was a gargoyle on What's New Scooby-Doo? Jesus, I gotta watch that. Oh, Murder Set Pieces. You haven't seen that, huh?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
We'll have to do that next month.
Yeah, no, I've heard
slasher. Hold on, that may have been slasher. I got to think about that if it's technically a slasher.
Well, good time to bring it up. Stay tuned soon for Slashtober. October's coming up, so our slasher special will be coming back for part two. So
the sequel,
the sequel. And if you're watching this video, you probably enjoy slasher. So go check out our last Slashtober, where we reviewed. What was it, like 15 different slashers? Yeah, so we reviewed a shit ton of slashers, put them head to head with each other every week. And at the end, we had a list of top three slashers, which are definitely shit that you need to check out. So go watch that. Patreon.com/FleshWoundFeatures starts at just $1. Like I said, at the top of the hour, we have an uncensored Candyman review on there. So go watch that for all the offensiveness. And follow us on all the social media stuffs. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Discord. All the links are in the description. And without further ado, say goodnight, Todd.
Goodnight.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.